You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. All right, so this is hopefully the week the Mets turned things around. Obviously, the first week of Mets baseball was not what fans were hoping for. A couple of very frustrating losses, and I'll talk about Saturday's loss in the first segment of the podcast today. I do want to preach a little bit of patience again, and also kind of caution against Mets fans who are already riding off this team. So we'll start off the show talking about that. Then in the second segment, I do want to go over some of the lack of offensive production we've seen so far and why the Mets are due to turn the corner. Then in the third segment, I will preview the Mets series this week against the Philadelphia Phillies, a four-game set, which begins tonight. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So before we talk about Saturday's game, for those of you who don't know, Sunday's game got rained out. A really bad situation for the Mets where, you know, the game gets started for no apparent reason. If you had just paid attention to the weather, it was pretty much obvious even going into Sunday, just based on the forecast, that if they were going to get a game in, it would be tons of rain delays. It would be in and out. There had to be a lot of breaks up through it. And for the Mets, they end up basically blowing a Marcus Stroman start, which he was not happy about, because they sent him out there. It's horrible conditions. He's basically fed up just being asked to pitch in those conditions. And just with the position, it was putting his teammates and even the Marlins in where guys could get hurt. As Stroman said later, you know, Lindor was playing shortstop in a puddle. Jesus Aguilar couldn't even hold on to his bat. And I don't think he was necessarily frustrated at the Mets specifically. It was the situation that, you know, everyone put themselves in by trying to play this game. These are decisions that, yes, generally come down to a home team's willingness to start a game, but it's also the umpires. It's also taking into account what the MLB league office wants. So a lot goes into it, but the bottom line is that game gets postponed, going to be made up, I think it said August 30th, as part of a doubleheader, and one of those games will be a continuation of this game where they only got into, you know, a couple batters into the top of the first inning. So let's kind of move past that and then actually go back a bit to Saturday, because that was the game that we could talk about, the one game from the weekend to break down. And Mets fans were devastated to watch a Jacob DeGrom masterpiece go by the wayside. Eight innings pitched, once again ties that career high of 14 strikeouts, allowed five hits, only one run off of a Jazz Chisholm home run. Other than that, he was basically just, you know, unhittable throughout this start. And the Mets lose 3-0. You can obviously knock Edwin Diaz for giving up some runs in the top of the ninth inning of that game. And Mets fans are livid about this lineup. And we're going to talk about some of the woes the lineup is going through in the second segment. But I want everyone to take a step back here and maybe get out of this Mets vortex of always believing that the entire onus of winning and losing falls on the Mets' shoulders, forgetting that there's another team that you're going against. And that start on Saturday, to me, as much as it was frustrating to see DeGrom get a loss in a game where he was excellent, it wasn't as bad as the opening day start for DeGrom, because this was a team that was going up against a legitimate starting pitcher that has, in my opinion, ace potential. Trevor Rogers blew me away on Saturday. This is a pitcher the Mets are going to have to worry about in Miami for years now because he's a rookie. This guy's 6'5". He's throwing up to 98 miles per hour from the left side. We don't see that often, okay? There's a lot of hard-throwing righties in this league. Lefties, that's a little bit more rare. So to see a guy with that velocity, he pairs that fastball that was averaging 96 miles per hour with a slider at 82 and a changeup at 87. So there's that great drop in velocity. That slider can fall off the table. Those two pitches are really impressive. But even the changeup, he had over 40% of a whiff percentage on all three pitches against the Mets. And I know fans will say, well, the Mets can't hit. But if you watch that game closely and you watch those at-bats, can we ever tip the cap to the opposing pitcher? I know when it's Matt Moore, I can see why fans are like, what is going on here? But this wasn't Matt Moore. This was a young and up-and-coming pitcher who was elite, who went toe-to-toe with Jacob deGrom and didn't give an inch. And I'm sorry, I know the gut reaction is always to say, I can't believe the Mets didn't produce for Jacob deGrom, didn't score any runs. And yes, it's a massive problem. But when you talk about that game specifically, maybe we should acknowledge that there was a pitcher on the mound in Trevor Rogers who was sensational. I mean, this guy, again, he was throwing 97 miles per hour and dotting the corners. That's really tough. So as much as everyone's jumping down Michael Conforto's throat and everyone else, and they're saying that, you know, something's got to give with this lineup, and it does, I also think that we need to acknowledge at times that an opposing team can beat you. And in this game in particular, it was two rookies for the Marlins, two rookies that might eventually factor in to a Rookie of the Year conversation this year, and Jazz Chisholm and Trevor Rogers, that beat Jacob deGrom. Essentially single-handedly early on in that game, because Rogers kept the Mets at bay, only allowed three hits, two walks, 10 strikeouts. Meanwhile, you had Chisholm, who was the one batter in that game that was productive through the first eight innings. I mean, he was sitting fastball on DeGrom. He turned on the pitch, hit one in the upper deck in right field. It was very impressive for a young kid to come in that spot and get a big hit against a really good starting pitcher. And obviously, DeGrom next time probably knows not to throw a fastball to Chisholm like that. But he was feeling out the Marlins lineup, and sometimes that's going to happen when DeGrom is relying so heavily on the fastball. But I just don't think there's anyone to blame in this instance. Sometimes you just get beat. And to me, that was a game where the Mets just got beat. I don't really feel like they beat themselves as much as they have in some other games this year or in the past. That was a really good game played by the Marlins. And the overall thing I'm trying to get across here is let's not quit on a team a week into the season. Let's give them a little bit of run before we just lop them all into the same old Mets category and say that there's no hope. There's still plenty of hope, and we're going to talk about that maybe in the third segment, because in this next segment, I'm going to talk about what's gone so bad for the Mets offensively, but also touch on what can be better moving forward. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football's been over, but we had the NBA, the NHL, and the MLB in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Looking at the Mets lineup right now, there are only three batters with an OPS over 1,000. Brandon Nimmo, 1,153. Luis Guillorme, 1,125. And the leader on the team, none other than Jacob deGrom at 1,200. So deGrom is the leader in the clubhouse, but that is obviously some limited at-bats, couple infield hits. He's been fortunate, more fortunate than a lot of the Mets lineup, and you go through player by player, and really there's only a few that you can say are having a good start to their season. Let's go with the bad first. Albert Amora hasn't gotten a lot of run, 0-2 so far. Kevin Pillar, 1-7 with a walk. James McCann, I feel like he has looked good at the plate, and then I look at the numbers, and surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly considering how the team's doing, but I felt like he was giving the Mets some good at-bats. He's 3-17 with 5 strikeouts and 2 walks. Michael Conforto, the guy everyone is ripping right now, is 3-21, has struck out 8 times, has walked once, and he may have got hit by a pitch. I don't know if you guys remember that one or what happened there. Francisco Lindor has started his Mets career 3-17 with 2 strikeouts and 4 walks. If any of you have buyer's remorse after 1 week, I don't really think there's hope for you because you're impatient and you got to let this thing develop. Francisco Lindor is going to get better. It's a rough first week, and it's a rough first week for a lot of these guys. Same thing I've seen people saying, you know, this is why you don't sign Conforto. Let's give these guys at least a month to prove what they are or aren't. Because what has it been? 5 games now? Way too small of a sample size to really test anything, especially when some of these guys haven't even played in all of those games. One of those guys is Jeff McNeil, who's 1-13, had that big home run. That's his only hit so far. He's only struck out once, though, which is a good sign. Has walked 3 times. I think he's seen the ball well. I think McNeil's going to be just fine. You have Jonathan Villar, who I am not even going to spend another extended period talking about after all of the attention I gave him last week. But so far, he's 3-14. With 7 strikeouts and no walks. Pete Alonso having a mixed start to his season. 4-19 is not great. 7 strikeouts is not great. But he has drawn 4 walks. Has a home run and a double. Dominic Smith, 4-15. Has struck out 6 times. Has yet to draw a walk. But has a double and a home run. And then you get to the 2 guys on this team that you can say are having a good offensive season so far. Although with Louis Guillorme, it is a very small sample size. He's 3-6 right now, has drawn 2 walks, has not struck out yet, only 8 at-bats. Need to get this guy a little bit more playing time to see what you have there. And then you got Brandon Nimmo, who's really like the lone player who has shown up every game this season, who just seems locked in, and he is probably the most underrated player on this team. At times, I almost go, you know, between him and Jeff McNeil. People don't really understand how good these guys are. And for Nimmo, as a leadoff hitter, these numbers are ridiculous. And really, he should be scoring a lot more runs because he's getting on base all the time. He's 7-17 so far with 3 doubles. And he has drawn 6 walks, has struck out 4 times. If you look at the Mets as a team, they have 36 hits, 24 walks. Right now, Brandon Nimmo owns 19% of the team's hits and a quarter of their walks. That is ridiculous. So if you look at what the Mets have right now, if you look at this lineup, and they did make some tweaks on Sunday, although obviously they never came out to bat. They went with Nimmo, Lindor, Dominic Smith, Alonso McNeil as their top 5. Conforto got pushed down the lineup. I like that right now because Conforto is clearly going through one of his slumps. And we've seen throughout his career, Conforto can be a streaky hitter. Outside of the 2020 season where he was pretty much hot all the way through, and that was a 60-game sample size. So I think you're going to get your peaks and valleys with Conforto, but eventually when you look up at the end of the year, I do believe the numbers are going to be there. Is he going to be the player he was in 2019, where he was essentially, you know, a 260 hitter but had 30-plus home runs, 90-plus RBIs, was just a very consistent above-average player for you? I think he'll be at least that. Could it be what he was last year, where he was one of the top hitters in all of baseball? Maybe that was a little bit of an aberration. If it's somewhere in the middle and he can be an all-star, it's going to be a really good team. But even if he is what he was in 2019, you're going to be fine. And I think he'll at least get back to that. I'm not overreacting to a 21 at-bat sample size. There's just not enough data there. Give him some time. The Mets have had such a weird season with the first series getting postponed. Now you had a rain out. Everyone else is playing way more games so far. Let the Mets get into a rhythm and see what happens. Lindor, I'm on the same boat. The guy has a long track record of success. I'm not worried about him. I think James McCann has taken some good at-bats so far. McNeil, same thing. I think those two are in a similar boat where the results haven't been there, but they've looked pretty good in the box. Dom probably fits in that category as well. So I look at this team, and I think they are due to turn the corner very soon. Maybe that happens against the Phillies, but you look at what they've done as far as a team run production-wise, it's very early, but 3.2 runs per game right now is 28th in baseball. They're last in runs scored, but part of that is just due to the lack of games played. They've only scored 16 runs. Other teams are in the 60s at the top of the league, but they've played probably double the games as the Mets. So I think this will be a good offensive team. All these names we're talking about, I think, are going to kind of turn it around. The one thing that I think I may be overvalued heading into the season is the offensive production off the bench. Because the more I look at it, when it comes to Villar, Pilar, Almora, there's not a bat off the bench right now that just kind of screams, okay, that's a dangerous weapon to go to late in the game. And that's part of why I have been campaigning for Guillorme to start, because then Davis could kind of be that guy. But the more that I look at this bench, even though I liked how they had so many major league caliber players on it, I think they're short of bat. I think that's something that might have to get addressed at some point this season, where they're going to have to make a trade just to get someone else in there. Maybe it's somebody who has some positional flexibility, or maybe it's just a third baseman that can pair with a J.D. Davis, or maybe it's a corner outfielder that can spell Dom. But I think they need one more bat, especially considering the overlapping skill sets of Kevin Pillar and Albert Almora. It might make more sense to have a more offensive option available to them. And maybe that's where Jose Martinez would have played in, but I think they need someone better than that. So we'll see if that is ultimately a decision the Mets come to during this season. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to preview this week's series against the Philadelphia Phillies, a four-game set that begins tonight. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with 18 amazing flavors, including the Caramel Brownie Bar, my personal favorite, the Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy, as Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. The Mets begin their first four-game series of the season tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. And the Phillies are leading this division right now with a 6-3 record. But they have gone through a tough weekend. They almost got swept by the Braves. They won the final game of that series in a back-and-forth affair on Sunday. This is a beatable team, though. And I look at this series as a real opportunity for the Mets to wash away all the bad narratives. You win 3 of 4, now you're on the right track. And then you go and you start to play some teams outside of the division. So this is a chance for the Mets to forget about a bad first week. Let the rain flush that away. You didn't get to play your game on Sunday. Who cares? David Peterson has a chance to rewrite his narrative, which is going to be important for him because he had a really tough time with the Phillies in his first start. Can he do better this time? Gave up 6 runs on 7 hits. A lot of that came in the first inning. Thought he was going to get knocked out of the game in the first inning, bounced back, had a couple of good frames. They probably sent him out for one inning too many, in that fifth. Didn't even get an out. Rhys Hoskins had a field day against him. Went 3-for-3 that game with two doubles and a home run. Had to face him again and gave up another double in that fifth. Probably should not have faced Hoskins for a third time, but he's going to have to be able to get this guy out. And it is a tough lineup for Peterson because it's very righty heavy. You have Hoskins, you have Alec Bohm, you have JT Realmuto, three really powerful righties. Even Gene Segura as a righty. Didier Gregorius is a switch hitter. It's definitely not an easy task for a left-handed pitcher to go through because really the only break from the righties is Bryce Harper, who can absolutely hit lefties and hit a double off Peterson in his first start. So that's going to be a tall order for him. Hopefully the Mets lineup gives him a lot of support, and they should against a pitcher like Chase Anderson. Anderson's one of those guys who can have flashes and can certainly be brilliant for a start, but the track record is he's not a very good starting pitcher, and the Mets need to bring that bad side out of him in this game. Don't help him. Don't swing at pitches outside of the zone. He's not someone with overpowering stuff, so don't let him, you know, get away with some bad pitches and get extra strikes. Be patient. Let him come to you and attack this guy, because I think this is a guy the Mets can absolutely feast on. In his first start against the Mets, he was good. Five innings, gave up two hits, had three strikeouts. The only runs he gave up was on a two-run homer that Dominic Smith hit. The Mets got to do better offensively against Anderson, give Peterson some support. And if you can win this first game, you at least feel a little bit better about the next three matchups, only because I'm just not that confident in Peterson against the Phillies. I have a little bit of hope, but I also have some scars from what I just saw. So we'll see what the Mets can pull off in this first game. You would say things get a little bit better because Taijuan Walker will start game two, but he's going against Aaron Nola. So that's a really good pitching matchup. The Mets did a nice job against Nola in their first opportunity against him this year. They got him out of the game after four innings. That is a good sign. He did give up six hits in that game, walked two guys, hit a batter. He just was not himself, but he was able to fight through all of that uncertainty, all of that lack of control, and only give up one run. When you get him on the ropes this time, if you do, the Mets have to be better at getting runs in that are in scoring position, and that is a theme for the Mets, obviously, but we'll see what they can do against him this time. For Taijuan Walker, he just has to build off of a really strong Mets debut. Gave up just two runs in six innings pitched. Can't say anything wrong with what he did in his first start of the season. Then we will see Zach Wheeler return to Citi Field. While he did pitch in Citi last year, there were no fans there, so this is going to be different. I'm curious to see how the fans react to Wheeler. They shouldn't have animosity there because it's not his fault that he went to Philly, but I'm sure there's fans that will just see a former Met in a Phillies uniform and he might hear some boo birds. I'm not quite sure. The one thing I'll say about Zach Wheeler is he is the one that got away from me personally. If you've been listening to this show since the beginning, 2019 was a love letter to Zach Wheeler. I was campaigning for a contract extension pretty much nonstop. No deal ended up coming together. He gets extended the qualifying offer, obviously turns it down, gets a big bag of money from the Phillies, and has been very good for them. Last year, he pitched three games against the Mets, allowed two runs in his first start, then gave up three in his following two starts. Overall, pitched to a 3.54 ERA in just over 20 innings pitched, and that was against the Mets. This year, his first start of the season, Wheeler was lights out, gave up just one hit over seven innings pitched, and had 10 strikeouts against the Braves. In his next start against the Braves over the weekend, did not fare well, didn't make it out of the fifth, gave up seven hits, three earned runs, and walked four. The Braves were able to get to Wheeler. The Mets should be able to, too, but that's going to be a matchup that's probably in the Phillies' favor right now. It appears like Joey Lucchesi will make that start. Marcus Stroman said he wouldn't pitch for another 5 days, so that would imply that he's not going to start on short rest because he didn't actually get to make his start on Sunday, but that is on the table. You would think this could be considered kind of your bullpen day in between starts, so maybe they go Stroman there. Otherwise, it's likely Lucchesi. Either way, the tall task for the Mets to beat Wheeler. So this series, when you look at the pitching matchups, it's not going to be easy, and that's why this offense really needs to come alive. They have to do it in Citi Field in front of the fans, just get some excitement back in the 2021 campaign, because I think there's a lot of fans that are down right now. And hopefully, they can win for DeGrom on Thursday, because that would make everybody feel better. DeGrom's going against Zach Eflin, and like Wheeler, Eflin had a great first start against the Braves, giving up just one earned run with 8 strikeouts over 7 innings pitched. Then his second time around, like Wheeler, was not good. Gave up 4 runs, but did make it through 6 innings. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Eflin. He's a guy who has shown a lot of potential, particularly in the 2020 season. He's also a guy the Mets have knocked around early in his career. They've shown that ability before. I'm sure there's a lot of guys in that lineup that have good career numbers against Eflin, and that is clearly the one game of this series where the Mets have the huge edge when it comes to the pitching matchup. But we will see it all begin to take place tonight at Citi Field. I hope some of you get out to that game and are enjoying being back in the ballpark. I wish I was there with you all. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan and follow the show at Locked On Mets. Also, if you have just started your fantasy baseball season, we have a new resource for you that will give you an edge, and that is the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast, a daily show hosted by veteran analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.